Good morning. It's great to be with you. So Tim did give me an assignment to give a report or a Bible lesson or both. Well, I'm not giving a full-on Bible lesson. I will set that straight right now. But I'm looking forward to the next hour to be ministering from God's Word. So we'll be getting that. Along the way this morning, I do want to give some Bible lessons or some applications. Here we are. There's a biblical precedent for that. Paul, when he came back from his first missionary journey, he gathered the church together and reported all that God had been doing. And so, in a sense, we're doing this morning. You have sent us out. We are on the mission field together. In 3 John, it says we're co-workers for the truth. Co-workers. And so we very much appreciate you all. When I teach on biblical missions, I talk about how the main task of missions from Romans 10 is that preachers be sent to preach the gospel. And as that's taking place, God does a lot of things. A church is formed and God does a lot of different things. But we also considered helping roles, that God has lots of people coming back and forth and helping on the mission field so that the word of God can be preached. And that's an important biblical principle. Well, you've done both. You've sent us to preach, and then you practically help us. Last time we were here, we were with the Grants, and this time here, we've been staying with the Thomases, going in and out. And you know that the Thomases have had challenges. Micah has had challenges, but in spite of his challenges, he picked us up from the airport when we got here, and then when we got back from some visits back east, he picked us up at the airport again. So that's a Bible lesson, helping one another in very practical and real ways. I'm not going to go into all the detail that I could go into. Most of you have heard it many times. So those of you that have not heard it, just ask us or ask Vicki if something is not clear or if you would like to know more. This morning, I wanted to try to give a little more detail on perhaps some things that I haven't given as much detail in the past. And I want to be a little more personable, perhaps interactive. I will say that Montenegro continues to be the least evangelized country in Europe. I'll briefly say how we got there. I'll give you some ministry highlights, and then I'll close with what we hope to see in the future, along with some prayer requests. So Montenegro continues to be the least evangelized country in Europe. Every time I have to move these, you know, the numbers that I give, so now it'll be 31 years ago as opposed to 30 or 20 or 10. But 31 years ago, there was not a single biblical church in Montenegro. There was the Orthodox Church, but the Orthodox Church, and actually there's two of them, were not presenting the gospel. We believe in years past they may have, and we believe that individuals there may be trusting in Christ, but as institutions, they're presenting a false gospel. And the false gospel sounds like this. If you believe in, for the Serbian Orthodox Church, make Serbia great again, and that's really a very relevant theme, they always want to be great like they were in the past in their own eyes, then you're okay with God. And that's a false gospel. And if you support make Montenegro great again, you're okay with God, which is a false gospel. So 31 years ago, not a single biblical church. In March of 96, we came to Nikšić, the second largest city, and became the third church planting work. Two churches were planted 30 years ago, and then we became the third church planting work in 1996, sent out by you all. Now there are seven registered churches, plus some non-registered, primarily refugee churches. And this is new since I gave a report last time. We actually have about four Russian-speaking and Ukrainian-speaking churches on the coast, and they're not registered because of various reasons. And by the way, registration is a good thing for the biblical churches in Montenegro. But in those seven registered churches and the non-registered churches, to this day, there's less than 200 Montenegrin believers. So that's very significant and very important. But that's more than 31 years ago. And you are part of that. Let me say just a little bit about Montenegro, and if you want to know where it's located, ask Tim. He'll explain it to you. Montenegro is a small country in South Central Europe. It's not in Eastern Europe. And this is something, it's not Serbian. It's Montenegrin. The majority of the people there would consider themselves Montenegrin, and the language that's spoken is Montenegrin. Montenegrins have this unique self-identity, different from Serbians, different from Croatians, different from Bosnians. And that's partially due to the fact that they were surrounded by 500 years by the Ottoman Empire, the Isis of that day, from the late 1300s to the late 1800s. So they were separated from Serbia, they were separated from Croatia, and so on. And so they developed their own self-identity. They were part of Yugoslavia for just a short part of their history, from 1918 to the 1990s or early 2000s. But Montenegro has existed as a free and independent country for 1,000 years. So just a little bit about that. Now, I want to say a little bit of how we got there, and I want to fill in a few details and let you know what a big part you played in that. So I had gone to Westminster Seminary. I was a pastor at a local church, but then I was in the Navy as a chaplain. And around 1991, I was stationed here with a Seabee battalion in Port Hueneme. And though I was stationed on base, I knew that I needed to find a local church. And so we looked for local churches, and when we came here, it was very clear that God was present in a special way. And so we became members here at this church. And then Pastor Anderson took me along with him as a comrade and as a colleague, and took me to the Reformed Baptist conferences of that day. We have Fire Today. Back then, we had some East Coast or Reformed Baptist conferences in Montville, New Jersey, and we had some West Coast in Livermore, and he took me along to both of those, and I really appreciate that, and what I heard and what I saw at those conferences really had a significant impact in the development of my ministry. I had already been ministering, but we're always growing, and we're always developing. My tour of duty was coming to an end, and I already had a future set of orders, but it was an opportune time to consider what should we do next. Both my parents are from Montenegro, and I always had a vague desire to do something in Montenegro, but I really didn't know anyone there. And then it was at one of these pastors' conferences, just like the Fire conferences today. So lots of good things happen. People meet and connect, and God works in those situations. I met someone who had contacts in the former Yugoslavia. And so I called them up, and they were surprised that I spoke the language. I spoke the language because both my parents were from there, and I grew up bilingual and bicultural. I don't speak the language perfectly, but I do speak it fluently. And he said, yeah, you know, call these people up. I'm sure they'd love to hear from you. So I called people up in the former Yugoslavia, and they were very surprised. And they said, yes, you know, there's lots of opportunities. And so we discussed it here with the elders. We made a decision that it would be a good stewardship of calling and opportunity to go over there. And then, here's a little detail, you know, we researched how should we do missions. And we saw as we looked, and here's Bible lesson, as we looked at Romans 10 and and the book of Acts, we saw that missionaries were sent from the local church. They weren't sent by agencies or societies or missions boards. Those institutions can help and they can do a good job, but often they become a substitute for the local church. And we didn't want that to happen. So we decided that we would be sent from Faith Community Church. But when we look at Scripture, we also see that even though Paul was sent out from Antioch, that was his sending church, he was helped by many different churches. And so the big principle, sent out from the local church in cooperation with other churches. Well, how did that actually take place? Pastor Anderson wrote a letter to churches with whom we had fellowship. And he said that we were getting ready to go, and if other churches were more interested, they can let us know and we could visit them, and you could ask him what else he said in there. I can't remember anymore. But it was an ideal time in history because a number of the churches that he wrote to had a desire for missions, but they weren't actively involved in missions. And so God put those things together. A lot of times, missionaries have to go around and do fundraising. And that's what it's called, fundraising, because they need funds to go out on the mission field. We never did fundraising. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong to do fundraising, but God abundantly provided. Yes, we knew that we were going to those churches and they may want to help us and we need financial support. That was in our mind. But it wasn't a crass, you know, give us money fundraising effort. And extraordinarily quickly, God put that together. And so this is something that I haven't talked about in previous reports. And we really thank God for this church and we thank God for those helping churches. So we were basically ready to go fairly quickly, in contrast to many missionaries that spend a long time fundraising. We were excited. We were ready to go. We sent in our application to what was then the Yugoslav government for visas. Ready to go. And then the visas were denied. The Yugoslav government, which basically at that point was just consisting of Serbia and Montenegro, was Serb-dominated. And they didn't give a reason, but they just said, you know, we don't want you to do this. And we had been very honest and upfront about what we wanted to do. In fact, what we wanted to do is to be in Serbia for a little while to get acclimated to the culture and then go to Montenegro. Well, what do you do when a door is closed like that? And it is very difficult to exegete providence. And in fact, it's not particularly a good idea to try to exegete providence. And so you look back to the Word of God. But, you know, it was an opportunity. Is this really what we want to do? And is there another way we can do it? And so, again, talking to those other pastors from the pastors' conferences that had visited, they explained that we could get into the country by getting a tourist visa at the border, perfectly legal, go in and try to get visas in country. And the short story is I was not able to get visas anywhere in Serbia, but I had our family's passports, 7 passports, including my own, Vicky's, and our 5 children. And then when I got to Nikšić, somebody from the official government said, let's go have coffee. And he brought his visa stamp. And without filling out any applications, without signing anything, he just stamped all of our 7 passports with a 1-year visa. And that could not happen today because, like everywhere else, there's a lot of paperwork. But once you are doing God's work and in your day-to-day life, as you're doing God's work as mothers, as fathers, as workers, as students, as teachers, God works wonderfully. So that is something we could not have anticipated or predicted. Visas, got them. all ready to go. And I'm not sure how much time passed by here. Vicki will be able to easily give you the math. But then we can't go. Difficult pregnancy with our youngest. And so we couldn't go. And Vicki, we had to stay for the difficult pregnancy. Theoretically, we could have gone and tried to have the baby over there, but in, you know, our decision at that time was, no, we should really have it here. And in hindsight, that was a very, very good decision. And so sometimes when you're doing God's work and God's will and God's way, various challenges take place. And that's all part of our life on this earth, because through many tribulations, we enter the kingdom of God. That's Bible lesson, brother. So we had Vicki healthy, and then we were able to go finally in March of 96. And it was a joyous occasion. We still have some pictures of the big van and the people that accompanied us, some of you that are here present today. Back when you were able to accompany those leaving on a trip up to the gate, you know, you're not able to do that today. So those are some of the details, how we got there. Vicki and our five children in March of 96. Now, let me pause here and again, since you're our home church, just to update you on those five children. Anna Marie, she's the oldest. Miliana, she's the youngest. And Miliana is 29. Josiah is 31. Christian is 33. Amy's 35. And then Anna Marie is 37. Okay. You older timers know these children. Anna Marie, Vicki homeschooled all five of our children, and she did a great job, and they did well in their SATs, and they were able to get good scholarships and get into good universities. She was homeschooling and got Anna Marie through the 10th grade, and Anna Marie was just not doing well in that society. Anna Marie is a very ordered, disciplined person, a great sense for aesthetics, beauty, and it was very ugly and disordered there. So she was having a very hard time, and we were considering what should we do, and we could have come back. That was an option. But in the midst of this, in churches cooperating together, the Trinity Baptist Church in Montville, they became aware of the need, and they gave Anna Marie a scholarship to their Christian school in Montville, which was a very good Christian school. And a family in that church, the Bonzels, agreed to host Anna Marie. So that was a great help to us for the gospel preaching to take place. And that's an example, again, of churches cooperating together for the gospel, for the glory of God. Anna Marie finished high school. She went to Columbia University. She double majored in German and philosophy. She had PhD offers from Princeton and Columbia, but she declined those to work in art, all right? And in art that's used in advertising. She was what you would call a prop stylist, arranging scenarios for photography. And she did a great job for that for many years. Now, this is something new that you won't know. How about 3 years ago, she decided that she didn't want to do that anymore. So she went to nursing school. And she wants to work in neonatal work as a nurse. She in short order, finished her registered nurse requirements, having come out of philosophy and German, art, and now nursing, and she's now working in the pediatrics department at Cedars-Sinai in New York. So that's a little bit about Anna Marie. Amy loves words, and she worked in print journalism, but as you know, print journalism is not doing so well these days, so she's worked in various places as an editor, and she's now living in San Diego, working as an editor for Petco, the big pet company, but all of their advertising campaigns, all their internal memorandums, and everything that's word-based, she has is involved with that. So that's Anna Marie. Excuse me, Amy. Christian studied computer science in Fresno, and he's involved with the church where Matt Troop is in Fresno. I forget the name of the church right now. It has one of those modern names, but I can't quite remember it. And we were a little concerned for him about getting a job, because, and you can talk to us more, or the elders, they know about Christian, but he's very black and white, and he's very, it's this way, and very literal, you know, oh, not quite, but like the Amelia Bedelia. And so we were concerned at the interview when they would ask the typical question, why are you the best person for this job? He would say, I have no way of knowing that. You know, there's millions of people out there. How could I possibly know if I'm the best person for the job? So, but he got hired in a good situation for him, and then he's moved on to another company, still living in Fresno and being involved in that church as a computer programmer. So that's Christian. Josiah did a combined bachelor's and master's physician assistant program, and he's working as a physician assistant in Rochester, New York. So last week when we were visiting a church in New York, upstate New York, we were able to visit Josiah and had a very, very good visit with him. And then Miliana, the youngest, last year, finished her PhD in computer science, and now she's a professor at the University of Maryland in computer science. She and her husband just bought their first home in Washington, D.C. Her husband is a computer engineer. They met at a student ministry on the campus of the University of Rochester, a great place to meet a future spouse. So we're very, very encouraged by them. So that's a little bit of an update on the family. And if you want to know more, you could ask Vicki. You do get the newsletter regularly, as Darla posts that. If you want to communicate directly, please feel free to do so and let Vicki know. So that's a little bit about our getting there and our family. Let me just tell you a little bit about ministry there and to try to highlight some areas. When we first got there, we did not know a single Christian. Remember, at that time, there was no church in Nikšić. There were two churches planted in the Podgorica area, but there was no church in Nikšić. So we did not know of a single person, period, let alone a Christian. So what do? Well, you start meeting people. And as you meet people, you present the gospel. And as we would present the gospel, I would ask people, do you want to do a one-on-one Bible study? Read through the Bible and talk about it. And people said yes. And so I would be meeting with somebody Monday night, somebody with Tuesday night, somebody Wednesday. And I said, well, hey, you know, there's some other people I'm meeting with. What do you think about us getting together and doing this together? So we did that. We started having Lord's Day meetings. I was asked to teach English at the university, and so we started an English language Bible study. And then, you know, people started coming to Christ. We started having baptisms, Lord's Day services, and we constituted as a church. But I would suggest to you as well, in this culture, if you have a relationship with people and you ask them, would you like at some time to get together to read the Bible together? And, you know, when you first phrase it kind of open and vague, a lot of people will say yes, especially if they know you. And then, without being manipulative or weird, then then you can focus, okay, you know, they've said yes in a vague way, so you get more specific. You know, what day next week would work? And you can do that here. And just start simple, reading through the Bible together and talking about it. Just start like that. And then as time goes on, you can find something with more structure and talk to the elders here, and there's things available. So God used that. We were sent out by you all. And we're members here. We get a salary from you all, which is the greatest part of our support, but that's not all it is. So the Andersons came and visited us while we were doing these things in the late 90s. I don't remember exactly when. Penny probably does because she was a little traumatized there's a style of architecture called brutalism, all right, and it or Soviet realism. Montenegro, by the way, was never a communist, was never a Soviet country, or never a Warsaw Pact country. Very different country. They democratically voted to be communist, and they democratically voted not to be communist. And you know, it's a very different situation. But they did follow some of that cheap Soviet architecture, and it's concrete, gray, blockish, and Penny thought it looked like a prison. And then there was the Tilton Hilton, which was this one building that wasn't quite like that. But the Andersons visited us, and they watched our children. Well, we had a date that we hadn't had for years. So that's the family of Christ, the body of Christ working together. And, you know, maple syrup was one of those special items that we would bring, and so we would be rather sparing with it. But the Andersons and Rick didn't know that. So when they had pancakes, they were allowed to pour as much as they wanted. Fond memories of the Andersons. And then a team came from this church and visited us. So the missionaries sent out by the local church in cooperation with other churches and supported with prayer, supported with finances, but also supported with personal relationship and practical help. And so there were people coming and going, helping Paul to write letters, to deliver letters, to deliver items, to make travel arrangements. There's Bible lesson two. And so we had a team come from Faith Community Church. And the Bill was there, and Nina was there. There's Nina. Was there anyone else that was there from this room? There was lots of other people, but that are present right there. And Bill used his masonry skills to build this really cool fire area that looks a little bit like a local threshing floor. So it has that local recognition with stone, with a seating area and a nice fire pit, and we use that to the glory of God to this day. And so that was part of our life together. We've been involved in student ministry there when that was important in my life. It was important in our daughter Miliana's life. And when we first came there, we were the student ministry team, and we had English language Bible studies. Since then, God has provided a brother who's fully supported by Christians in Denmark to work full-time with university students. And we are fully in agreement that the student ministry is not a substitute for the local church, but it's to reach people on the campus when we as the church aren't there, but they can be there, and to present Christ to them and to call them to the kingdom of God, to call them into the local church. So student ministry is going strong, and now I'm going to start to transition to something. As that student ministry was going, student ministries in Europe found out about us, and they wanted to come out and help. And usually they had a couple things in their mind. They wanted to see, you know, how it looked like where there was not much Christian presence, and they wanted to help. So they wanted to see and learn, but they also wanted to help. And so we've had Christian student groups from the United Kingdom, from Italy, from Denmark, from Norway, and other places. And what's interesting here is these are young people. They're university students. Many have just recently come to Christ, but they're very excited. But they're in Northern Europe or in Europe. And generally, they are associated with state or national churches, like the Lutheran churches in Scandinavia, the Anglican Church in England. And those churches as institutions are really all over the place and can be very, very liberal and non-Christian. But they, as Christians, are real Christians. Some of those national churches do allow individual liberty in local churches, so you can actually find very evangelical Lutheran churches in Denmark. But as a whole, the state churches are not biblical. And so they come and visit us, and then they're able to see a functioning biblical Reformed Baptist church that is active in the community, that is showing love, and it's a very, very healthy and a very, very good thing. And so your ministry is that a local church be established in Montenegro, but our ministry together is broader than that. You're reaching people from Lutheran churches and Anglican churches. And how often do you have people from a liberal Lutheran church come here at Faith Community Church? Well, you have them coming to us. And so we're in this together. As these students would come, we would host them in our home. And the first place we lived was very, very small. You can ask the Andersons about that. But and even with that small place, we would host lots of people. So the fact that you have a small place shouldn't hinder you to host people and show hospitality. But God enabled us to get a big house. And when they come, they stay with us. And Vicky's the one that runs the hospitality. And that is a huge ministry. And it's not just material hospitality, but she's able to interact with them during the day, as am I, and we're able to show them a biblical way and a biblical model of doing things. And that has led, as I've said before, for the work to become a bit of a Balkan labrie as well. Part of that as well is ministering this Balkan labrie notion is ministering to other missionaries. So there are missionaries, when we first came there were very few missionaries, the two in the capital city, us, that's it. And for 10 years, there were no other missionaries. But now Montenegro has become more popular as a tourist location, and so we have lots of missionaries nowadays. We have upwards of 50 missionaries or expats that are kind of half missionaries. And a lot of these missionaries that have been sent by missionary agencies, including some of the biggest in the world, have very little understanding of the local church. And they have very little understanding of preaching. In Romans 10, it says, "How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent?" It is preachers that should be sent. But many of these are, not only are they not preachers, but they don't understand the role of preaching. Also, they're not ready for what waits them. They're expecting quick results. You know, present the four spiritual laws, repeat this prayer, you're converted, I'm done. You know, but that really is not the way we should be doing things. And there, when it takes a long time and people aren't coming to Christ, they get very discouraged. So they've actually come to our house and visited with us, spent days and asked to have a retreat and to see how the church where we're at is working. And so we're actually ministering to other missionaries. And now I want to tell you a little more detail about some recent good news. And I'm not going to be able to go into every detail. And if you want to know more, you can ask us. But one of the world's largest missionary organizations has tried to send people to Montenegro. And they've sent them, but they've been very unsuccessful. And this has been going on for 20 years. Basically, they had a wrong notion. They thought that the missionaries should not identify as missionaries. They should identify as humanitarian aid workers or tourist agency operators or something like that. They shouldn't say, "We're here to present Christ." They didn't understand the local church. Some had very bizarre views of it. They didn't understand preaching. And as you can expect, it was not a good situation. They were discouraged and they would leave. They were discouraged and they would leave. Then they would send a bigger team and they would start fighting amongst themselves. And then they would leave. All right. And this is literally what happened. And then at some point, At a pastor's conference, or at a broader Gospel Coalition conference, a good one, I met one of the leaders who had some good biblical understanding, and at that time there was no one from their organization in Montenegro, and I started talking to him. The people you've sent, they really don't understand the local church preaching, and you should just have them identify as missionaries. And he said, I agree with you, and I'm frustrated too. And then he asked, if we do this again, would you be willing to be mentors and to host a missionary family? And I said, sure. So a few years passed, and then we entered communication, and to make the long story short, Lucas and Faith Henniger and their two children, Chapman and Uriah, are now with us in Montenegro for an initial period of 3 years. They're great. He's not a preacher. He's an engineer, like Pastor Anderson was. So I will say he's not a preacher yet. But he understands, and he wants to learn. And so they're faithful, they're regular, they're involved, and they're with us for the first 3 years just to learn how church it works there in Montenegro in a biblical manner. And then they're waiting to see what they would like to do further, whether to do some value-added ministry in Nikšić, emphasize something that we're not doing or we need help in, or possibly to do church planting with the blessing and being sent out by the local church in Nikšić. And so that's you, and that's very exciting. We've had some a recent evangelistic outreach, very, very helpful. The whole church was involved, even as lots of people get involved for fire and for the fellowship lunches. We had a five-week Sunday night instead of our normal meeting. We did a dinner with basic gospel truths and discussions, and that has worked very well for us and got the whole church involved. Somebody set the tables, somebody cooked the meal, somebody gave a testimony. And our desire was not to, we do these five things, we pray a prayer, you're converted, but really to introduce them and to desire that then they then continue coming back for more. I'm going to be wrapping up and give you a summary and some prayer requests. Montenegro is still the least evangelized. At our church, we have about 20 in attendance. That number has remained the same over the years because people have come to Christ but have had to move away because 30% unemployment and you just can't live. So you can keep that in prayer. The church has been planted, but it's not self-sufficient yet. There is no biblical church in Montenegro that is self-sufficient yet, but we're making progress. Pray for us in all the usual ways you pray for yourself and for the church. So when you're praying for the church here, say, and we also pray for our brethren in Nikšić in exactly the same way. Well, except for unique things. Include our children in that. Some have not yet come to Christ. Pray for the challenge of families. Now we're having families that are raising their children in Christ, and they're not sure how to do that, and we want to help them in that. We want to have a ministry to children. We understand that the primary ministry is from the family, but we want to help in that. Pray that God would use us, me and the 2 Timothy 2:2, to pass on to faithful men who will be able to teach others, particularly Montenegrins. So my fellow elder, who's wonderful, but he's not a Montenegrin, and we want to see local Montenegrin leadership. We believe it's important to have a church building at this time. People accuse us of not being a real church because we hide and don't have a church building. Well, we don't have a church building because we haven't been able to afford it. And in the past, our landlord wouldn't let us put up a sign. But in that culture, having a church building would be a good thing. And we want to progress to the next step, which is not just a vague desire, but we found this property or this building that we want to renovate, then we can go back and ask for help. But until we find that specific, we can't ask for help. So we want to do that. Some health issues, and I'm going to wrap it up there. If you want to know more, you can write to us directly. You can speak to us today. I'm finished, and then Tim, if we have time for questions, if not.
No, we don't, but you can close the meeting with prayer.
Aye, aye, sir. Lord, thank you that you are our God and we are your people. Thank you for this local church. We pray that we would appreciate all that you've done and are doing, and we look forward to what you're going to do. Help us today to worship you and to have good fellowship. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.